From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of July, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll check in on the dairy industry in a couple of different ways. One of them, a new milk ad that's been running in California. The other, on how dairies in Illinois and across the Midwest can help their cows deal with the sweltering heat and the very high nighttime dew points. And then as we close out the program, we'll hear from the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County about the cash grain market and take a quick look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
It's a Monday afternoon. Time to look at the Closing Market Report numbers. They came in from Chicago with the soft red winter wheat down 5 1/4 cents for the September at $6.89 and a half. Next year's July at $7.82 and a quarter, 2 cents lower. The hard red December contract at $7.84 and a half, down 5 1/4 cents in Kansas City. September corn futures today, $6.96 and a quarter, 5 lower. December at $6.77, down 8. March at $6.88 and 3/4, 6 1/2 lower. The May at $6.93 and a half, down 7. And July corn today, $6.99 and a half for next year, down 5 cents. Next year's December, that's the 2012 contract, at $6.25 and a quarter, was unchanged on the day. August soybean futures, $13.85 and a half, down 1/4. September, $13.82 and a quarter, 3/4 lower. November beans, $13.86 and a quarter, down 3/4, and the January, $13.96, up 1/4 on the afternoon. March futures at $13.98 and a half, up 2. May at $13.94, 3 3/4 higher, and November beans at $13.46 and a half for next year, down 3 cents. The August bean meal at $3.59.30, down $1. Soybean oil at $56.92, down 43. That's the August contract as well. Nearby live cattle futures in August contract at $109.85, 75 cents lower. October at $115.85, $1 lower on the afternoon. August feeder cattle at $134.57 and a half, down $1.12 and a half. September at $135.62 and a half, $1.17 and a half lower. In the August contract in the lean hogs at $98.45, 50 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures trading at $95.92 a barrel, down $1.32. Ethanol, $2.85 and 9 cents, a penny and 4 cents lower. Natural gas at $4.54 and 2 cents, down 0.4 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 3 8 cents lower at $3.07 and 9 cents. The gold finished at $1,602.10 an ounce, up $12.30. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 130 points lower at $12,350. The dollar at 75.48 is up 0.35. And the CRB index is down 2.4 at 343.8 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for today says skies are sunny. It'll be hot, a high near 91. The heat index rising to 103 degrees in the Urbana-Champaign area. West-southwest winds at about 9 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy skies, a low of 74 this evening. West-southwest winds at 6 to 8. And tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms locally, mostly sunny, a high of 94 degrees, the heat index climbing to 110. Again, west-northwest winds, they'll be at 7 to 9, and Tuesday night partly cloudy, a low of 75 degrees, northwest winds at about 6 miles an hour. Wednesday, mostly clear, a low of 77, just a low of 77 degrees on Wednesday. Sunny and hot on Thursday, a high of 96. Thursday night, cloudy, a low of 77. Friday, mostly sunny skies and hot, a high near 95 degrees, partly cloudy with a low of 76 on Friday night, mostly sunny and a high near 94 on Saturday, and Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 75 degrees. By the time we get to Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, it'll still be hot, mostly sunny skies, a high near 92 degrees. A more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We've got a hot week looking at us. Dew points will be very high, so nighttime temperatures are very high as well. And the upper 70 degrees is the marketplace paying much attention to that. They were not as moving as much higher today as I expected, I suppose.
Well, they're paying fairly close to the forecast. They do realize it was going to be hot this week. That's why the market went up substantially last week. We got to remember we're trading futures, and they're looking on out towards first part of August right now. But there was some showers around today. Anywhere from a tenth to half inch was kind of popular in some areas. There were some people fortunate enough to get a little bit more of that, but it wasn't very widespread or consistent. There's another chance of some moisture here tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. We'll see how that unfolds, but that was put in the forecast here last Friday. But yeah, what you were getting to, we're at a critical point. We've got a large percentage of the corn crop entering the key reproductive stage. We'll see how we are this afternoon on silkings and so forth, but trade's kind of looking now at a cool down and possibly some more moisture here as we go into the weekend, so we'll see how that unfolds. These forecasts, as we all well know, change every 6 hours, so they're going to be watching that fairly closely. But the trade was overbought. We rallied well over a dollar off the lows there 2 weeks ago. A little hint of some moisture gave reason to pull back substantially last night and early this morning before recovery going into the close.
As you've talked with your farmer clients around the Midwest, what are they telling you about the condition of the corn crop today, yesterday, in that heat? Was it rolling? Is it suffering yet? Or is there enough subsoil moisture and a deep enough root system that it seems to be making its way through at least these couple of early days of the heat fairly well?
It varies tremendously. There's all different situations out there. Initially, with the hot forecast, the first thing comes to everybody's mind is the areas have sort of been on the dry side in the later planted crop where it really hasn't had a chance to develop. You know, it's lighter grounds rolled up pretty good in some areas. But for those that's received some moisture, fairly good shape. Some guys are seeing some very early pollination before this heat. But the main concern was this week here in the Central Belt where we're facing this heat and a shortage of moisture both. Now, you get on north and west, northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, we're seeing a situation where they're too wet. They've got standing water, have had standing water. Some guys were fortunate enough to try replant some ponds once or twice, but they gave up after that because it was just too wet and getting too late to do anything with that. And there probably going to be a situation where we look at the crop conditions report. It's not going to be from heat stress or dryness. It's going to be from wet conditions. Then you move on into Nebraska, Kansas. You got to remember that area is fairly well irrigated. It's hot. They were looking at 104 degrees. They were fortunate enough to receive moisture over the winter and spring. They've got some water reserves to work with on irrigation, but the dry land is virtually gone in those areas. So we'll see, you know, if that starts to show up in these weekly reports, Todd.
Can I take you through the new crop just a bit? Because when we got the USDA report June 30, of course, and we had larger acreage than many had thought was there, although I think most in the trade are satisfied that that may be in the field at this point. Some said that that ended the demand-led rally that picked up on that same report, relatively speaking, last year. So the question is, do you agree with that? And then are we at a point this time around where we, with new crop, are looking at a supply-led rally? And what are the differences between the two?
Well, as far as the demand goes, we've seen guys substitute. We've seen feeders cut back. We've seen the world market go to the feed wheat, per se. So demand's fairly well has slowed down. It hasn't gone backwards by all means or negative. There's still demand underneath the market. In fact, last break we saw here 2 weeks ago, we uncovered some new world corn demand from China. So demand's probably going to be held in check in here for a while. But as you hinted on there, supply is the key right now. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, particularly corn, if you take that yield, multiply it times the harvest acres, and you'll bump that yield around 4 or 5 bushels to the acre, that changes that bottom line dramatically. So the concern right now is the supply side of the equation. As far as acres go, man, we're going to be debating that clear into January next year. There's quite a few guys we talked to said, yeah, there's more corn in the areas they were in. Had one person went to North Dakota or South Dakota, and they said they only saw one cornfield in the whole dang state. So they've got their work cut out on the acres, but at least I've talked about quite a bit, that's going to show up on the harvested side of the equation, Todd.
All right. Anything that a producer should be thinking about with this marketplace this week or today for corn or soybeans, wheat, if you want to?
Well, I'm going to be a broken record. You got to determine whether you're managing risk or not. That's the key right there, because when you go day to day, forecast to forecast, it's going to wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you get in there and you try trading the market, the market's going to crush you. They're going to get you bullish at the top, and they're going to get you bearish at the bottom and take everything you have. That's typical of these types of markets. The point is to have some type of plan, use the strength in here to get caught up on some sales as you become comfortable with production. And like I've said a million times, most of the analysts, well, I'd say all your analysts you have on your program have good managed risk hedging programs where you can kind of manage this risk, using futures options.
Are you a seller into the rally?
We're pretty well sold up. For guys that's getting some rain and pretty good shape on production prospects, you could add some sales and strength. We've been doing a lot of put strategies. Volatility's still kind of high, but we've been doing some spread activity here to continue to put a floor under, especially those guys in some areas where they're uncertain about production and don't want to commit a whole lot more to the cash side, cash sales, until we get later on in August here and see where we are.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You know, the Closing Market Report comes to you from the University of Illinois. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. You can listen to it again anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. In fact, we post all of our programming there, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, each and every day in its entirety. It's all at willag.org. In today's agricultural news, farmers and ranchers across the United States are continuing to deal with the impact of floods, drought, fire, and tornadoes. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack wants to remind farmers and ranchers across the U.S. that USDA offers a variety of resources to help them cover losses, and urges those in need to contact their local county or state USDA service center or farm service agency. Available USDA assistance ranges from the Supplemental Revenue Assurance Program, federal crop insurance, and the non-insured crop disaster assistance programs. USDA's risk management agency urges producers faced with questions on prevented planting, replant, or crop losses to contact their crop insurance company for more information. The NFU is in the process of examining its own dairy policy. The National Farmers Union is taking a closer look at the Foundation for the Future proposal, the basis of the dairy reform discussion draft introduced by House Ag Ranking Member Colin Peterson. The group has formed a subcommittee of its board members to examine the organization's dairy policy, to evaluate where organizational policy overlaps and is supportive of the proposed legislation. They'll also suggest adjustments to the legislation. In a few, President Roger Johnson says the ongoing dairy crisis has made it necessary that something be done to provide a safety net for dairy producers. We'll stay with dairy, but go out west where there's a new milk ad that's been stirring up some trouble. The California Milk Processor Board has developed an ad campaign suggesting women aren't the only ones who suffer from PMS. The billboards, websites, and radio ads suggest men purchase milk for their women to alleviate those monthly symptoms that sometimes cause women to blame men for everything, that according to the ad campaign. The campaign is based on studies showing diets high in calcium can reduce symptoms of PMS in women. Though some describe this campaign as hilarious, others, including women, are calling it offensive. The campaign certainly is not the first from the milk industry to produce controversy. It's also not the first to make the tie between calcium and PMS. The 2005 TV milk campaign showed men running to stores and trying to stock up on milk for their women. And finally today, energy programs are facing federal cuts. Early indications are that energy programs like the Rural Energy for America program, the Biomass Crop Assistance Program, and the Biorefinery Assistance Program may be at risk. That's the conclusion of the Environment and Energy Institute following hearings held by the House Agriculture Committee in preparation for the next farm bill. The EEI says at a time when job creation is at a standstill across the U.S. and oil import costs are soaring, driving up costs for agricultural producers and rural businesses, these programs are the kinds of public policy investments that can help get the economy moving again and in an environmentally sustainable direction. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, you know, summertime in the Midwest can be sweltering, but it's the dew points that make a difference in the dairy barn. I'll have more on what can be done to keep milk cows comfortable and profitable. When the heat index is sore, livestock producers cringe. Their animals and their profits can suffer from extreme heat. Dairy cows are far more prone than other livestock to the vagaries of heat stress, says University of Illinois Extension's Ted Funk.
There's going to be problems with them going off feed. If farmers don't anticipate the problem and do something about it, they will go off feed, go off milk production, and also can have some reproductive failures as well.
The three priorities dairy producers should focus on, says the Extension agricultural engineer, are shade, airflow, and water. Funk says the need for those three is not solely related to hot air temperatures.
The conditions that we're looking at that are going to cause problems are if we get dew points in the low 70s. It's a dew point people need to be aware of, and look at that in your weather forecast. It's interesting that the dew point, which is a measure of the amount of moisture in the air, doesn't change very fast. You'll see a quick change in dew point only if you see a weather front come through. The dew point doesn't change very fast, so you can look at the morning dew point and say, well, you know, we either have a day that's going to be a real hot, dangerous one for our cattle, or one that we can manage.
When dew points are under 70, producers have enough cooling potential to keep cows comfortable and productive. When they rise above 70, which can be predicted, it's time to take action.
The priorities that you want to look at are, first of all, in the holding pen. When the cows are in the holding pen, that's when they're really under the most stress, and you have to make sure that you have the cooling going on. And again, that's shade, which most of our holding pens have roofs over them. Second is airflow, so get the fans on those cows so that you can approach what the ambient conditions are outside. Anytime that you have cows inside of a barn, the dew point in the barn is going to be higher than outside because you're evaporating moisture from the surfaces, and you got cows that are respiring, so you're going to have a higher dew point. So what you try to do is get enough airflow, enough air exchange through that barn that you're approaching what's happening outside. That's the best that you can do. But you provide shade, and you put air over the cows by means of fans, and you sprinkle them, both especially in the holding pen, get air on them. Not a mister. You want a large drop. You don't want a fog. You want large droplets on their backs and evaporate that with airflow over them.
Illinois' Ted Funk advises producers to use large drops of water to sprinkle. For cows on pasture, provide shade structure when possible. Cows in the sun absorb heat, and it takes hours for them to cool off because they have large bodies. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County joins us. Hi, Greg. How are you today?
Doing good, Todd.
Basis levels have been on the move for corn again. What's been happening?
Well, we had the two major processors in the area improve 10 and 15 cents respectively today. Decatur went from 40 to 50 over. Danville went from 50 to 65 over. We continue to be at 67 over, so if those 300 million bushels that the government found in the June 30th stocks report are around, they certainly don't seem to be around central Illinois.
So you haven't been getting calls saying, hey, I've got some of them, I think, over $7. Where would we be? Let's see. We'd be pretty high.
Yeah, our cash bid is 763, and that was before the sell-off today. So we're approaching that $8 figure again. And if there is any corn out there, I would think that might spring it loose, that $8 figure.
Oh, so $8 is the magic number. You think we'll find it this week?
If not this week, next week, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope it rains tremendously and we don't have to explore those higher prices. But if I had to bet right now based on the forecast, I would think we'll probably make new contract highs.
All right, so the forecast is telling us that new crop's going to suffer, hot and dry weather, or in this week, very hot weather. And that's going to have an impact on old crop prices, too, because if we get the rain, it'll just drop back by. But if not, how much damage do you think we could be doing? And where is the crop in your area in its terms of maturation, soaking, those sorts of things?
Well, I think luckily maybe the first 30% of the crop may be pollinated ahead of this heat, but the majority of the corn is going to be pollinating right in the middle of this heat. So that's not a good sign. You know, if we can, you know, there was some rain in the area last week. Some people got as much as 7/10, 8/10. Others got 2 or 3/10. Others didn't get hardly anything. So it's, you know, that's going to help. If we can get any kind of pop-up showers, that's going to help a little bit too. But these hot nights seem to be, you know, causing a great deal of concern. You know, and it wasn't the greatest crop in a lot of areas to begin with. So, you know, I think we're in trouble if we don't get some rain soon, because even if it cools off next week, they're still talking temperatures in the 80s. Now, that's not the 90s, but with very little rain, that's still not going to be good for the crop. I think the official rain reporting station at the Willard Airport, I think, is only showing 1900s for the entire month of July, and we normally get 4 inches. So we need to start getting another inch or two here before the end of the month. Otherwise, you know, we could be looking at, you know, 30, 40 bushel yield loss in some of these fields.
Better give me your bids for the day.
All right. Cash corn is 763 for the old crop corn, 661 for the new crop. Beans are 1396 for old crop, 1356 for new crop. And new crop wheat is $6.79.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson, back in 2 minutes.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Caviar Day. Caviar was once reserved strictly for royalty, yet surprisingly enough, in America during the early 19th century, caviar was routinely served during free lunches in saloons. The salty flavor encouraged thirst and enhanced beer sales. Incidentally, during the 20th century caviar boom, sturgeon were overfished nearly to the point of extinction. On this day in agricultural history in 1627, French explorers noticed oil seeping out of the ground near Cuba, New York. It was the first recorded mention of oil on the North American continent. In 1936, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile was invented. It was a giant hot dog on wheels, invented by Carl Meyer, nephew of Oscar Meyer. It was built by General Body Company at Chicago, Illinois. By the way, in June of 2007, a Wienermobile with a Wisconsin license plate of Yummy made headlines after having been stopped by an Arizona Department of Public Safety officer for having an alleged stolen license plate. As it turns out, the Columbia Police Department that flagged the license plate as being stolen had neglected to add that it should be stolen if only not on a Wienermobile. And in 1940, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was nominated by the Democratic National Convention for an unprecedented third term as president. FDR was sympathetic to the struggles of rural America during the Depression, and many of his New Deal programs were designed to specifically help agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is here to talk about the weather forecast. It's hot. Looks like the overnight temperatures are going to be fairly high, and so are the dew points. Not much good for animal agriculture or for the corn crop that is in the middle of pollination here. Is there relief anywhere?
Well, Todd, it's at least a couple days off. This is day one and a half, if you will, of what's going to be a rather long-lived heat event across the Midwest. We, as you mentioned, dew points across much of Illinois are in the mid-70s. Actually, have some lower 80 dew points across sections of Iowa right now. And this air mass is in place. The ridge of high pressure is currently in an expansion process over the next 48 hours. And so there is a chance for some light scattered shower activity tonight, tomorrow night across far northern Illinois into southern Wisconsin. But it's going to be very light and scattered in variety, mostly totals around a tenth or two for those areas that receive it. But the big story, as you mentioned, is the heat. And the heat is going to be with us through the majority of this week. Today and tomorrow are pretty hot. Wednesday, a touch of a reprieve. And then Thursday, Friday, by multiple measures, if you can see how intense these ridges of high pressure are, this one is one that we'll probably remember for a number of years to come. It's a very hot air mass. It's very humid. And it's going to be with us for 5-6 days. It moves off to the East Coast by the weekend, but then there's signs later next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, you start to build the ridge out of the Four Corners region back into the Midwest by the end of the month. So this is surge one. It's a very impressive one, but it doesn't mean we're out of the woods by the weekend. We think there might be another one coming later next week.
You know, exacerbating the problem, I think, is that July has been not the wettest of Julys on record for parts of the Midwest, certainly for here, and we're behind. And I'm wondering how we get the humid air mass like we have now when we've been fairly dry in the month of July.
Great question. Yeah, certainly the northern half of Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and southern Wisconsin have dried out quite dramatically over the past 4 to 5 weeks. And the origins of this ridge is over the drought from the south. So the best way to explain it is the way we see it is plant population. The corn is spaced so tightly these days that as the air mass comes out of the plains, out of the drought region, and moves up in towards Iowa and Illinois, you tap some Gulf moisture, certainly, but also the fact that you have so much corn evapotranspirating here through the pollination process, it adds surface dew points in a big way.
Oh, wow. Interesting enough.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that's it. We'll just keep watching this ridge. It's certainly a real-time feature, and it's wave number two late next week that has got our attention right now.
Okay, thanks so much, Josh.
All right, thanks.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. So one more thing on that plant population. He's talking about the number, for those who don't know, number of plants per acre, and that number goes up, oh, relatively speaking, about 2,000 every year, every couple of years, and has for quite some time. So by comparison, a lot more corn plants on each and every acre out there now than there was just a decade ago. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a good afternoon.